Well, now we come to the modern engine, the turbine engine, the jet. And what you have just heard is a Meteor. Now, the Meteor was the first jet-propelled fighter in service. It had two jets. It was a twin, a single-seater, and it was made by Gloster's. And right towards the end of the war, they used them a little bit over the other side, and over this side, they used to tip up those pilotless German doodlebugs. The Meteor was 1945, and I remember getting into it on the runway at Tangmere and thinking, well, God heavens above, this thing's going to go like a rocket, you know. And you wound it up on the brakes and to full throttle, and then you let the brakes go, and pressing oneself back against the back of the cockpit, you thought, my goodness, this is going to come in a minute. And it trundled off down the runway like an old lorry. And it never moved at all until you actually got it into the air, and then you got a bit of acceleration. But it's the most extraordinary feeling that I recollect, or one of the most extraordinary. However, this was the first, as I say, the Germans had the Messerschmitt 262 on their side. But they didn't really tangle with each other, I don't think. And so one never really knew what had happened. I suppose the Meteor had a maximum speed of about 550, 560, that sort of thing, which was a pretty large advance on the piston engine stuff. Of course, the jet now, I mean the jet engine, and I'm not being old-fashioned, but they all, but you can't possibly tell what is taking off or what the noise is or anything else. It just concusses one's eardrums. And anybody who's been at Farnborough when they fire off down the runway and then put in some reheat, it really makes one duck one's head sort of under the seats to try and avoid the terrible strain on one's ears. Now we hear a real noise that one can understand, which is the V-bomber, the Vulcan and the Victor. Another rather quiet noise that you hear, and I'm very glad that it's come into the program, is the Valiant. Now, this was the first of the jet bombers. It is not supersonic, it is not particularly high-flying, but it was made by Vickers and was the equipment of Bomber Command in the early days after World War II. Now you've got the real thing. This is a scramble, in other words, a quick takeoff by the Vulcans and Victors of Bomber Command because the warning's gone red. Now you can hear this tremendous noise, and they get off and get airborne in 2 minutes. I think that's the thing. One cannot really let the jet age go by without commenting on the last, or what I think was the last, I may be wrong, of Sidney Cairn's famous designs, the Hunter. Now, the Hunter has been the standard equipment of a fighter command of the Royal Air Force for a number of years and is being phased out as the replacement Lightnings are coming into service. The Hunter is a most lovely aeroplane to fly. It really invented the new type of formation aerobatics, and I've never forgotten the very first time that it did it. I've forgotten what the squadron was, but there were 22 aeroplanes in a large V formation at Farnborough, and they dived down, and the whole 22 looped in perfect formation, and as they came out at the bottom of the loop, a number peeled off, and then they did another maneuver, and gradually peeling off until they got down to about 12 of them, which started doing more sophisticated aerobatics like barrel rolls and things. And I was standing with an American officer from the US Air Force, and I said, when this astonishing thing occurred of 22 aeroplanes in tight formation doing a loop, I said, well, what do you think of that? And this chap looked at me, he said, well, my, he said, ain't that something? And it just about summed up this man's utter astonishment at what was going on. Well, the Hunter has performed, and people have seen it. In fact, if I dare say so, I think it performed recently through Tower Bridge. I don't know whether it was a Hunter or something else, but I think it was. But this great fighter, like them all, they age catches up with them, and the new one comes out. And now we have the Lightning. Now, this absolutely thunderous and ghastly and hair-raising noise that you're hearing now is, in fact, a Lightning. The pilot, as he went past, actually lit his reheat, which is the extra power boost caused by igniting the unburnt kerosene in the tube. And everybody's hair stood on end. And the extraordinary thing is, you know, looking at this as we were standing on the airfield, the larks were all sitting up a few feet in the air, singing away like mad. And this hideous noise came through, and they all thought, oh, what on earth's going on? You know, and they shut up. And as soon as it had gone, they started singing again. Well, I don't know. I suppose they haven't got the sort of eardrums that we've got, but good for the larks. This noise now, which isn't so violent really, is probably the best aerobatic team at present in the world. It is the Royal Air Force team known as the Red Arrows, and it comes from Little Risington, which is the Royal Air Force Central Flying School. The aeroplanes are the Gnat, the Folland Gnat, which was designed by that famous designer Petter, who got so fed up with the politicians and the aircraft industry that he gave it all up and retired to become a monk. Petter believed, like many of us do, that a single-seater fighter is required solely for its destructive power in the shape of guns and or missiles, and that the cockpit should be cleared of all the conglomeration of radar and heaven knows what, and that the aeroplane should be a reasonable weight. Thank you. talking about the net, and the great designer Petter reminds me of the early light medium, I suppose you'd call it, bomber, the Canberra. This was the most beautifully designed aeroplane. It flew well. It was a an immediate post-war equipment, a bomber command, and the Americans used it. The B-57, and it was a very, very fine intermediate bomber between the piston engine and the, rather like the Valiant being the heavy one, between the piston engine and the nuclear V bombers. You can hear from this odd sort of swishing, flapping noise what this thing is. It is, in fact, a helicopter. This particular one is a Wessex, made by Westlands, and is powered by two turbines. If it were powered by piston engines, you'd hear a great deal more noise than we've recorded. The helicopter is a very odd affair in that it will do something which nothing else will do, either in the air or on the ground. There's a lot of people alive today who can thank a helicopter for pulling them out of a rough sea or saving them from something where nothing else could in fact get at them. Well, here you are now. This is a well-known noise of almost any twin-engined, piston-engined aeroplane 20 years ago. This happens to be a Varsity, or which the civilian flyers will know better as a Viking. Varsity was the Air Force name for it. And, of course, that ghastly squealing. I mean, really, I think they ought to do something better than that. It is the chap putting on the brakes. It sounds, as somebody said the other day, they're just like a tube train coming into the station. But nevertheless, it was a good aeroplane its time, and many, many people have flown on package holidays and so on in the Viking. So don't let us be too casual about it. Last one, and this is the most popular passenger aeroplane in the whole world at this moment, is the VC-10. This is a British aeroplane, and need I say it, with Rolls-Royce turbine engines. I cannot really end without commenting on the innumerable firsts which the British aircraft industry have produced over the years, and which, the, for various reasons, political or otherwise, we have failed to exploit. The original jetliner, the Comet, was a British invention. The jet engine, indeed, was invented by Frank Whittle. The swing wing, which was invented, that movable wing aeroplane, was produced by the genius of Barnes Wallace, of dambuster fame, who invented the bouncing bomb to destroy the Eder and Mona dams. The vertical takeoff aeroplane, and not only the Hawker Harrier, but also the Shorten Harlan's produced one. Well, we've come a long way since we started with recollection of the Royal Flying Corps and the Royal Naval Air Service and the noise you heard of the blipping of the rotary engine of the early days. But as I said before, the Royal Air Force will continue. We may have invented aeronautical equipment and aeroplanes which other people have taken from us and made a commercial proposition, like some of the things that I have mentioned. Nevertheless, the Royal Air Force, shrunk as it is now through a political expediency, will remain a service of quality. Now, as long as you have quality, as has been shown certainly in my lifetime, you can expand to an unlimited extent as long as you have the hard core of quality.